And this team will always, they give you, it's for each other. They don't, it's not for me. It's not for me. This team plays for each other. They don't play for me. They play for each other.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show as we continue to roll on a Monday. Not so much a fun day if you're a Texans fan, but hey, your Rockets have won six in a row. They're tied atop the Western Conference standings. They continue to win, so there's hope.
Kicking ass.
Yes, and that was Bill O'Brien after the game yesterday in one of those other cryptic messages we were talking about, where it's kind of sending a message whether he likes it or not, whether he planned on it or not, to management and others. And then today, Bob, as we'll call him, Bill O'Brien, was at the podium to talk about yesterday. And right from the get-go, he made it clear he's got his starter already picked out for next week.
Well, first of all, I'm not done watching the tape. We got in at 2 a.m. So there were some, you know, obviously a lot of things to learn from on the tape. You know, Tom will start the game against Arizona. But, you know, like I said, after the game, we all have to do better.
So last week,
well,
Yates got 30 to 35% of the first team snaps anyways. So you had to get the notion. You got to get the notion, look, he will be ready and they won't be sitting on that trigger too quick before they pull it.
Well, to me, the only thing that stands out about Tom will start the game.
Right, right.
Not Tom's our starter. Tom will start the game. That doesn't mean he's going to finish the game. And I promise you, if he starts throwing interceptions in the red zone, he won't finish the game.
So then he gets to the master of the obvious quote, which every coach has to have in a press conference. And his master of the obvious quote is basically around the fact that they were moving the football. They just weren't putting points on the board.
We have to finish drives. You know, I think it was five or six games in a row where we were scoring a bunch of points. You know, I know that there was a different quarterback in there, but, you know, it seemed like we were finishing drives pretty well. We got to get back to finishing drives in the end zone, not with field goals and obviously not turnovers. You know, I think we just have to be more consistent in running the football. You know, I just think consistency is really the key theme. I mean, unless we had a six-hour press conference, you know, there's just too many things to cover. Just really overall, it's the theme of consistency.
Well, Bill, I mean, if you want to hang around for 6 hours, I'm pretty sure the media will hang with you. Let's give it a shot.
I'll say this. He's consistent with his answers. I just got to do a better job coaching. That is definitely he is the model of consistency when it comes to that.
I was going
to
ask you, though. For everything that he was saying, it was regarding the team. Couldn't you say the same thing about his coaching staff?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
I mean, he's right. The only problem with that, I mean, you do have to be consistent, but the only problem with that is this team is in flux because of the injuries, and it's hard to stay consistent. So you're going to have that turnover. You know, he talked to Savage about, just don't play tight. Just go out there and let it go. Well, he did.
He's told him to let it rip.
And he let it rip to the wrong guys a lot.
Ripped a hole right in the hearts of Texans fans.
Whether they caught him or not is a different story, but I guess you could say Savage was consistent. He was consistently bad, and he has been for two games.
He was consistent because he hit the other team right in the hands several times.
I don't care as much about being consistent as I do about being good, you know?
I can tell you right now, you can have Brett Hundley at the end of the year if you need him. so he went and went from there. He was already sounding very upbeat, as I'm sure you guys could tell. And then he talked about something that, Barry, you mentioned before we even got to any of this sound and even got it back and got it into the system. It's exactly what you said when you went back and looked at the tape. Sometimes Tom didn't have a whole lot of time to throw the ball.
Well, yeah, I mean, a couple times he only had a second to get the ball off. So, yeah, I mean, by physical force, he was thrown off his back foot. I mean, there were a couple times where, you know, he didn't even have a chance to get the ball out, you know. And so, I mean, we have to, if you guys are, you know, going to really study the tape, which I know you do, you know, you're able to watch the tape and stuff, you got to really look at it in all phases of the offense. It starts with coaching. We all got to coach better, starting with me. But it's never about one guy. It's never been about one guy.
It's about five guys up front that aren't doing their job.
I was just going to say, so go back to the last quote when he says, we got to run the football better. Now go back and look at all of this where some of the plays he had less than a second to throw. What's the common denominator there for anyone that's watching the tape? The offensive line sucks.
The thing that, well, you know, here's the thing, though. I thought early on in the first couple of drives, they ran the ball really well. And they ran the ball up the middle with Miller and Foreman, but mostly Miller.
And Miller bounced it out getting through holes.
He was gashing that defense in the beginning, and a lot of that had to do with Xavier Suofilo and how well he was run blocking. But then they kind of got away from that. And on one particular play, and I've always thought since Watson went down, why they don't do this more, but they went to a 21 personnel where they had Prosh in the backfield. And they ran strong side and gashed they gashed that defense of the Rams. And I was like, why aren't they doing this more? When you know you've got a line that can't create a pocket for a guy who's not that good of a passer, why not go 21 or even 22 personnel, put a couple of tight ends out there with a fullback and just run the ball. I mean, that to me would make more sense for this team right now, but you're trying to force this guy to throw, and he's not ready to do that.
If you look at what is the known commodity, which is your offensive line is suspect, and I watched several games yesterday, and the one common denominator to what you're talking about is when they absolutely had to run the ball or they needed balance in running the football and they were unsure of the blocking they were going to get, they put a fullback in front of the halfback. They just put him right there and said
21. Like when you hear 21 personnel, the two is running backs, the one is tight end. So if you hear 21, they've got usually two backs and one of them's a fullback, and then you got a tight end in the game. Do that. I mean, that makes sense
without question. And I saw it in like I said, no less than three games, maybe even four or five games. And the announcers were savvy enough to pick up on it and put that out there as well and say, look, when you need to run the football and you're worried about your offensive line, get an extra offensive lineman out there, in essence, by putting the fullback in front of him.
This team is one of the few teams to still use a fullback.
Right.
So if you have him and you have a subpar offensive line, why aren't you in a 21 or 22 package most of the time when you're going to run the ball? It doesn't make any sense to me. It makes almost as much sense as the Rams did running Tavon Austin out there and trying to make him a running back.
Every time they put him in the backfield, it was like a field day for him to lose 5 to 7 yards.
Stupid.
Yeah, that was bad. All right, and then, of course, to wrap it all up, it was Bill being Bill.
The way that I was brought up in coaching is I never worked for or played for a coach that pointed fingers. Or I never worked for or played for a successful coach that pointed fingers. And, I think the thing that I've always tried to do is look in the mirror. Like, what a coach is being a teacher. A coach is trying to get the most out of your players, trying to get your players to produce at a high level and play at a high level. And when that's not getting done, then you have to look in the mirror and think about how you're teaching it, how you're practicing it, how you're implementing it, how you're calling it, whatever it is.
See, to me, that is – okay, thank God we finally got there. That's the kind of thing I want to hear from him, because that was a little more honesty. That was a little more openness about what he's doing. And, you know, he wasn't coming out and saying Tom Savage sucks, and I don't expect him to, and I don't want him to, but at least he's being honest, and there's some stuff you can read in between the lines there by saying, look, guys, you want me to come in here and bash Tom Savage, and I'm not going to do that. I've never been around
that's
a coach.
That's what I interpreted from that cupcake.
Exactly. But that's fine. That's way better than, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I've just got to do a better job coaching. That gives us nothing. That quote, thank you. It's nice to finally hear something different from him.
And to his defense, nice. He did mention that earlier in the press conference. He's like, John, he was talking to McClain, and he was like, I'm trying to give you a good answer. I'm trying to give you the best answer that I can. And then he later kind of went into, I don't point the finger. So it was kind of in conjunction with that, but yeah.
Because somebody said on the text line, they were like, for how much you cry, what would you say as a coach after a game to people who you simply don't care about? That's from Keith, and I'm guessing to me, because I'm like, do something else. You know what I would say is look, you know, Tom got thrown into this. He didn't have time to prepare. We're going to work on it. You know, does he need to do a better job making reads? Yeah, but does that mean we're calling the right place? I don't know. Maybe it's maybe we need to get together. And, you know, there's a lot of things you can say other than the fact that I need to coach better, because it's not about coaching. You can coach all you want. You can be as good as you want. The players still have to go out and execute. Was it coaching that caused Jonathan Joseph to get burned on that 94-yard touchdown? No. Was it coaching that caused Xavier Suofilo to whiff on the block on Aaron Donald that caused Tom Savage to get that fumble? No. You know what I mean? Those guys got to play. And you can. It's okay to talk about that.
Without question. But I think that more dialogue is going to be, obviously, whether he wants to point fingers or not, centered around the quarterback, the offensive line,
yep.
and, of course, his status now because of the fact that they are 3-6, and he does seem extra salty and extra crotchety. So we'll continue to roll on. I knew this call was coming. I just didn't know when, and he is there.
Yep.
So I will take my medicine because I picked the Bills, and I know that Clarence is going to want to gloat. So Clarence is waiting on hold, and we'll get to Clarence as well as a whole lot more. We've got college football to talk about from the weekend. We've got the Rockets to talk about. The new AP rankings are already out. The big rankings will come out tomorrow night on ESPN. So plenty more to get to in the final hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Cowboy fans out there, Howard Eskin is going to be a regular contributor to the show now. We're probably going to have him on at least once a week and maybe for more than one segment, just to let you guys know. That should go over like a proverbial tootin' church. We're just kidding, but we're getting a lot of feedback. Crystal Collins, the head of the Dallas Cowboy fan club here in Houston, said, tweet me when I can turn my radio back on, hashtag garbage.
Not a fan.
Not a fan. I thought Howard was good. And he gave us a hell of a lot of quotes that we could put up on the internet.
Yeah. I liked it.
It was good stuff.
Yep.
Good get by Nick, by the way. Nick Sciarra. Well done, Nick.
Just on the
fly.
He was
a funny dude. He was a funny guy.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I spit out a tonsil stone yesterday and thought of you, Barry. Dilly dilly. What? That's it now? Like, you're just going to, like, hey, I took a crap yesterday and I thought of you, Barry. What?
I do that all the time.
Jerk. Shout out to Marquise Good. This is a text. Shout out to Marquise Goodwin for staying strong and playing Sunday after a tragic loss. Yeah, man. If you didn't hear about this story, 49ers Marquise Goodwin, after their first win of the season, he says, we lost our baby boy. And they had lost, him and his wife had lost their son to
premature
labor. And the tough part about that is the picture that she posted that he, I guess, later reposted, or I don't know, they put it on his, but it's the baby's hand holding his fingertip, and it's tiny. And oh, heartbreaking. You said, I didn't see it, I didn't watch the game, but you said that after they scored his touch, after he scored a touchdown, that the team kind of just surrounded him in the end zone.
It was one of those moments where you know when a guy says he's going to play, that he is keeping inside a whole lot of emotion. And look, if you go back and look at the tape, Janoris Jenkins of the Giants not only didn't tackle well, but it looks like he quit. But he got beat on a long ball. And when he got to the end zone, when Goodwin got to the end zone, you could tell that the rush of emotion. He went down on one knee. He looked like he was looking to the heavens to say a prayer for his baby.
Ugh.
And it just, the floodgates, you could just feel like all that emotion was rushing out of him. And the guys knew normally after a touchdown, they're all jumping on him and celebrating and, you know, and jumping around. Everybody just formed like a complete circle around him and just kind of held on to him. And it was really a moving moment.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing.
Man, I don't know that I could, you know, do that. But these guys are athletes for a reason. They have some sort of mental fortitude that most people probably don't.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, to have to go out there and play with that heavy of a heart, unbelievable. And then they get their first win, and he gets the touchdown. And, you know, she said, today I had to deliver my precious baby boy early this morning due to preterm labor. Despite our loss, my hubby kept grinding, scored his son a touchdown, and got our first W of the season. He had a wonderful game today. Later, she said, an amazing experience, and it was also a tragic experience. But that's okay, because we won't stop fighting, and we won't give up on what God has in store for us. So sad, man. That picture.
Oh, man.
Woo. Boy, you talk about gut-wrenching.
Yeah, no question
about
it.
I mean, you look at your finger.
You know that they would trade everything to have that baby back.
Oh, man.
But they've got the right frame of mind and they're strong individuals, and you just hope that sooner rather than later that they get another chance to have another child, because you can tell that they're ready to be parents.
Yeah.
That really hit them hard.
I mean, if you this so the picture is his fingertip. If you basically look at your fingertip and look at the fingernail, and that your fingernail, that's about how big the baby's hand is that's holding the tip of his finger. Unbelievably sad. I couldn't imagine going out there. No way.
Let alone going through life and getting through a day.
Yeah.
You know, a day at a time. That's but then you're going to go out and play football.
Tough.
So, yeah, there was a lot of stories in the NFL yesterday, but nothing even close to touching the emotional heartstrings of that one.
Yeah.
I guess I'll do this right now.
Here we go. He's going to gloat.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? My team is on fire. Joel picked against them. I want to talk about it and gloat. Clarence, what's up?
Why? You just said everything I was going to say.
Well, I was hoping that would get rid of you. I was hoping if I got all that out of the way, you'd be like, well, you said it for me. I got to go.
Nice.
I got aerobics at 4:30, and I got to pick up the dog after that.
Nope. But I was listening to Nick Picks Friday, and there you go. You just had to pick them. You thought they were going to do it.
Nick, who'd you pick in that game?
Not. I picked the Saints, but I said Breeze was going to, like, dissect them, but there was not a single touchdown by Drew Breeze, man.
Yeah, he didn't have to. Nope, they ran the ball right down their throat.
Running. Yep, a lot of rushing touchdowns.
There was a lot of running. I was kind of nervous when I seen Breeze pull out, and he was running around like, please don't get hit. Please don't get hit. And he just kind of Peyton Manning his way into the end zone.
Yeah, he had a rushing touchdown, didn't he?
Yep.
Sure
he
did.
He runs just Third about quarter. As fast as Peyton Manning. And that was ugly, but he got it in there.
Ingram,
it was a nice, great block.
Ingram and Kamara were nuts.
Ingram went nuts. 3 touchdowns. Yeah. Kamara added one. Man, that's
Breeze
a third string running back. Edmonds, he had one.
It's a good day to be a Saint yesterday.
And look, Clarence, I'll give you the rationale why I picked Buffalo. They were at home. I thought the weather was going to be bad. I thought it was going to be cold. When the Saints went to Green Bay, I already told you that if they had anybody else quarterbacking the Packers, that would have been a totally different game. So I had lots of reasons to think that was at least going to be a ball game. And if it's going to be close, you go with the home team, you go with the weather, you go with the elements. But, hey, more credit to the Saints. I tip my cap. It was a hell of a win for the Saints, and now they're being...
the defense has been playing lights-out football. And here's a quick stat for y'all. The Buffalo Bills had 15 carries for 69 yards, okay? The streaker that they had in the fourth quarter after the Saints scored their next touchdown, he carried one time for 100 yards.
He carried 2 balls 100 yards.
That's right. I mean, Clarence, I don't know if you saw it or not, but I saw it this morning. There was legitimately a streaker that ran almost the length of the field in that game. And within seconds on social media,
there were
hundreds of people going, from everything from what you said, he has more yards rushing than he's found the end zone more than
the Bills. Yeah.
Everything was right there.
Yeah. That's so funny.
He went from end zone to end zone, then tried to go back, but he slipped on a cutback.
I was thinking about that, though. And then one of the security guys, like, wrapped his jacket around his genitals so that no one could see them.
Oh, you can keep that jacket.
Yeah. If that's your jacket, who's doing that?
Oh, man. You know, I don't know what gets into guys that go streaking like that. That's just, I don't know. That's weird to me.
But even if you're a tripod, I mean, there's porn for that. You don't have to go out and do it at a football game.
Yeah, I don't get it. Well, hey, Clarence, I was looking at ESPN this morning, and I saw this graphic that said the Saints updated odds to win the Super Bowl. You ready for this? Maybe you saw it. They are 4th.
No, I didn't know.
So preseason odds, New England was 11-4, Pittsburgh 10-1, Philly 40-1, and the Saints were 25-1.
25-1, I saw that.
Updated odds, New England 3-1, Pittsburgh 4-1, Philly 9-2. Your New Orleans Saints, 6-1 odds to win the Super Bowl.
I love those stats. We have to get past Washington this week, but the big game, I'm not going to look past Washington, but the big game to tell all of the tales, will be next week, the game of the week on Fox. It'll be against the Rams.
Yeah.
Now,
and
Clarence,
we'll see what goes on there.
As much as we didn't know about the Saints, especially when you were 0-2 to start the season, but who'd have thunk that you and all Saints fan would be saying, that's a big game next week against the Rams?
Right.
Man, hey, I always love the Rams. I just don't like them in L.A., man. You know, yesterday I watched that game. We've all seen the Coliseum doing the Rose Bowl and doing the national championship. We see it packed from ceiling to floor. Some of those Ram fans are—I'm not going to even call them fans. You can look at it and half the seats going to the top are empty. Well into the third quarter of that game.
Yeah, we've talked really about it on this show. USC is consistently outdrawing a combined fans in attendance for the Chargers and the Rams in a weekend, and you could see it yesterday.
Yes.
A lot of people were tweeting during the with 45 minutes to go in the pregame before the Texans kickoff. That with 45 minutes to go before kickoff, it was like the gates hadn't been opened yet.
When they showed the opening shot, by the way, Clarence, thank you for the call.
Yeah,
when
thanks,
they
Clarence.
Showed the opening shot and I saw that stadium, I was like, is that L.A. traffic? And it never filled up. No. It was like that the whole time.
Awful.
That's
awful,
just
awful.
A bad
and you
got
to wonder
LA.
Going forward because they have two teams.
Yeah.
And look, the Chargers are having a hard time drawing, and they're playing in a 28,000 seat soccer stadium, and they want this big, lavish new stadium.
But they just had to be in L.A. The NFL just had to be in L.A. when you got other towns like San Antonio that would be packing a stadium.
Or the fact that San Diego may have a rickety stadium, but they were filling it.
That's right.
And they were supporting them.
Yep.
And that's something that you might want to consider. So, okay, there's a little bit more on the NFL. We should probably get to some college football before we get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to some of the action of this weekend.
Was there any big games this weekend?
There was a few.
Anything happened?
Do things
happen. I don't know.
Is there any rumor to the fact that you might be creating a turnover chain for the Usual Suspects? No?
I could,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the big wins for the programs that have advanced in the college football polls and some of the big losses that may have bounced other teams right on out of the picture. We'll talk some NCAA football. We'll get to some Rockets before we get out of here. Usual Suspects, half hour to go right here on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It wasn't very good, John. I haven't done a good job coaching this team this year. That was my message to the team. I have to figure out how to coach this team better and try to get them to play better. Just try to coach better and try to get him to, you know, execute better.
Trying to get the most out of your players, trying to get your players to produce at a high level and play at a high level. And when that's not getting done, then you have to look in the mirror. And really, overall, it's the theme of consistency.
They don't play for me. They play for each other.
So good.
There is the Nick Sciarra created mosh pit of Billy Owen.
I mean, that was a matter of, what, 12, 13 hours, the presser after the game and then the presser this morning.
Yeah, all that was from
and
two
remember,
press
the presser after the game was literally 3 minutes and, like, 40 seconds. It was a really quick presser.
It was?
Yeah, it wasn't
really
a long
that
presser.
Short?
Yeah. Yeah, usually they're, like, 10, 15 minutes.
Now, did he storm out, or was that just
no,
everybody
he was
have
down
questions
and,
for him?
That's what I'm saying. This is
it was a defeated O'Brien,
you,
and no
man,
one really fought it.
There.
What did I say a long time ago when they won a couple games? I'm mad that the Texans are winning for one reason, is that humble Bill O'Brien won't be seen at the press conferences anymore. It's going to be cocky, angry. I don't have to put up with your bleak Bill O'Brien because I'm winning. And now you're back to not even necessarily humbled, but just run-of-the-mill answer Bill O'Brien. I don't know which one I don't like more.
I'm just telling you, the signs are all there that this guy, one way or another, has had enough.
You're on that, huh? You think for sure?
I do. You get that notion?
If I were to ask you to put odds on it, what do you think?
It's the wrong show.
What do you think is?
You got to be drunk to listen to that show.
What do you think the odds are that he's not here next year?
65%.
Really?
60%. 60% he's not here.
I think it's a really fair number because those are kind of some cryptic quotes. It's like it's the type of quotes like they know there's tension between them, but they're not really talking about it. Like they kind of know what's coming. Like I don't think Bill O'Brien knows he's getting fired next year. I'm not saying that. Or am I saying that he's going to get fired? I'm just saying he knows there's some tension between him and the front office if he's talking like that.
Hmm.
But you know what? Losing two at the same, huh? Losing,
no. You don't feel that?
No, I would probably put it at 35 to 40%.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. You guys might be onto something.
By the way, I was telling Nick in the pre-production meeting, we were talking about the Cowboy-Falcon game and Adrian Claiborne getting the 6 sacks and the 2 forced fumbles.
Yeah, that's crazy.
How about the fact that he's going to benefit from that greatly? He had 2 sacks going in, but he had a clause in his contract. If he gets to 8, he gets $750,000 bonus. He got that. If he gets to 10 and only needs 2 more, 1.25 in nice. Extra moolala.
That is nice. That, you talk about motivation.
You think he's got to give some to the backup offensive tackle for the Cowboys? Because right. He basically opened the door and said, come on in. Have a party in our backfield.
Here's $100K. Thanks for sucking.
Yeah. Buy him a tractor. Buy him all those quarterback gifts we were talking about. Damn. Get him
right.
Something.
Damn right.
No doubt about it.
Let's get
it.
Cody's call in before we talk. Yeah.
So here's the flip side. So Clarence gloated because he's a Saints fan. And now Cody's going to give some shout-outs on the flip side because he's a Bills fan. Cody, what's up?
I am just so relieved that Clarence was humble. He was gentle with, because there is, believe it or not, there is a lot of Bills fans in Houston. And I'm just glad that Clarence was humble. He didn't rub our face in it, because that was just a straight up ass whooping.
Yeah. What's up with Tyrod Taylor? I mean, from one moment to the next, that dude is looking like, oh, this guy can play. And then you look at him and you're like, I don't know. Are you guys as frustrated as I think you should be?
He really isn't, though. I mean, his whole story has been that he's a garbage time quarterback. I mean, if you take his season stats and average them all out, he's averaging 187 passing yards a game, 1 touchdown, and I think like a third of an interception a game.
Oh.
I mean, you can't win football games when you're getting 187 passing yards from your quarterback.
Cody, straight up, are they for real? Are they pretenders? I mean, because we started to buy in to the Buffalo Bills, and it really worried me. Obviously, I bought in more than most because I picked them, and they just did not. I mean, are they going to get back to being better, or is this just the Bills being the Bills?
I've been screaming for Nathan Peterman since the bye week. When they lost to Cincinnati, I've been screaming for Nathan Peterman since they were heading into the bye. I mean, they said something during the Oakland game. They were saying that Carr had the shortest snap to release time in the NFL, and Tyrod Taylor had the longest snap to release time in the NFL. Now, it's changed because he does a lot of scrambling in the pocket and everything, but even still, I mean, enough's enough with the dude. I mean, eventually you've got to say, hey, he's just not getting it done. Let's at least see what the other guy's got for next year, because it's a loaded quarterback draft, and Buffalo's got 5 picks in the first 3 rounds.
So you're basically saying they're pretenders.
I don't know what to make of them.
If you want to make a quarterback change, then they're pretenders.
Yeah, I think that answers the question.
Yep. Cody, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I was looking at his numbers.
It's your fantasy guy.
Yeah, 166 yards on 10-8 against the Bengals, they lose. 268 against the Bucks, they win. 165 yards against the Raiders, but somehow they win. And now he went 285 against the Jets, they lost that. And then 56 yards against the Saints. 56 yards.
By the way, with the Giants lost to the Niners yesterday, everybody said that it was agreed upon, or there was rumblings internally with the Giants. Ben McAdoo would be fired before they got back to work. I think it's off today, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Instead, John Mara and Steve Tisch, the owners of the Giants, came out today and said, Ben McAdoo is our head coach, and he has our support.
Wow. That's a bit of a shock.
There's your confidence, and I love what Sean Salisbury tweeted, which is, I love when owners give head coaches a vote of confidence, which really means GTFO and pack your bags. And he's pretty much right. Yeah, because most of the time when you hear that vote of confidence, it means that it's coming within the next couple of days. I'm surprised as all get out that he's still coaching this week.
I'm surprised.
Here's his quote about, you know, the weekend before, they said, you know, what'd you say to your team at halftime? And he felt, it was almost like he was befuddled and he was stumped. He didn't answer it. He just got quiet. And everybody was like, no, it was legitimately that he didn't even know how to answer that. And so they asked him this week, like, what do you say to motivate your team? And he goes, I've got too much to do to worry about saying anything to my team that would be like I have to motivate them. This dude's gone.
What?
I mean, yeah, he's bye-bye.
That's not good.
No, he's got to go.
Where did the hell did the tweet go? Or the text go? Ryan said, Cody just said, you can't win when your quarterback throws for 180 yards per game. Drew Brees just beat the Bills 47-10 with 184 yards in a game.
Good catch.
Well, when you run the ball as well as the Saints did, I guess you can. And Shady's been running well. You know what I mean?
There's no question about it. You got a good running back there. But, I mean, even Kelvin Benjamin had one catch. You just traded for the guy, and you want him to be your number one, and he had one catch.
He had, like, three targets going into the fourth quarter. Like, they didn't even want to use him.
That sounds like a guy that's got him on his fantasy team.
No, I really don't. I haven't even paying attention to fantasy at all. But, yeah, I mean, I was looking at the stats, and he had three targets going into the fourth quarter.
Are we going to talk some college?
Yeah,
on
we
the
sure
way
are.
Back?
I was just pulling up the newest poll right now.
What was the – there was one other NFL thing that I wanted to mention. Oh, well, it wasn't that important.
I love the fact that, by the way
– that finish of the Jags game.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen it, and we won't have time to discuss it, but go check out For the Win if you didn't, because a lot of folks didn't watch that Jags game. But the finish in that game is outstanding. But, I mean, but Blake Bortles just trying to lose it.
Sucks, but the final 2 minutes and in overtime was fantastic.
Just go to forthewin.usatoday.com, ftw.usatoday.com. It's probably on the front page. Check out the Chargers-Jags wild finish. Funny, funny stuff.
And go check out Juju Smith-Schuster's touchdown celebration yesterday. He warned everybody that if he got a touchdown...
Did he drive a car?
It was going to be epic. No, they completely mimicked and imitated the fight between Jalen Ramsey and AJ Green. It was fantastic. That's great.
Did you see, was it the CFL where they did a limbo?
I didn't see that one.
They did a limbo in the CFL where one player was the bar being held by two other players and another guy limboed up under him. Oh, that might be the winner.
And the Vikings played leapfrog yesterday.
Yes, that was pretty good too. Yeah,
and by the way, Case Keenum, 4 touchdown passes. Oh, don't worry about that.
There you go.
Hey, didn't he used to play for the Texans? No. All right, we got one segment to go on the big show. So, you know, whose house? Kook's house. Kirsten will be down here in a minute. We've got one segment to go before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz, who we love them. Just so happens that on the way home, I heard him say you got to be drunk to listen to our show. But that's just
Did they
Fred.
Really?
That was Fred being Fred. So we've got one segment to go. Don't Hilarious. Go anywhere. The usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Rozier holds his hands out, has the shotgun snap, gives away to DJ Dallas, ushers it to the left side. Dallas turns the corner. He dives for the end zone. He is in for a touchdown. DJ Dallas somersaults into the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
When I came back, or when I decided to continue to coach, I really did want to enjoy it. I wanted to have fun. And what better place than Miami can you have some fun? And, gosh, it's just it's been a blast.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, that was the Hurricanes Radio Network. Rock and roll! As the Hurricanes destroyed Notre Dame on Saturday night. And before we get into all that, I want to tell you guys about my good friends at Window World of Houston. Not only are they the greatest window company in Houston, but their product is sweeping the nation. They're the country's number one window company because they offer a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, a low price that starts at just $189, plus $45 for Solar Zone Low E, which meets Texas energy regulations. And because they got a great offer that you shouldn't be able to refuse because of the fact that they're going to come to you and give you a free written estimate with no absolutely hassles or high pressure, nothing on the hook for you. It's just a free estimate. So all you got to do is call them and you got nothing to lose. 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. They come to you. They check out your windows. They tell you how they can help you lower your energy bills and improve the overall quality of your home, and they walk away. If you like what they have to say, you ask them to come back and they do all the work. If you don't, you walk away. No hassles, no strings attached, and you go about your business. business. It's that simple because that's the way they do business, and that's why they are so popular. Window World Houston, simply the best for less. Give them a call. A little bit surprised in some of the college football games this weekend. That Notre Dame game.
Oh, you think?
I didn't expect a blowout like that.
No, I don't think anybody did. Miami's, I said when we were doing our picks that Notre Dame was running the ball as well as anybody in the country. Mm-hmm. That offensive line was playing as well as anybody in the country. And it was the complete opposite versus Miami. Miami made that offensive line look like a sieve. They could not run the ball. Miami's defensive front was doing whatever they wanted to do. I was stunned by it, really.
Mike Golic went so far this morning as a Notre Dame alum to say the biggest knock he's got on the Irish right now, because remember now, they were in dire straits for a lot of years. They were really bad. But under Brian Kelly, as good as it's been, he said if you just look at the track record over the last 5 to 7 years, they just can't win the big one. They get on the big stage, whether it's going to be for the national championship, the Orange Bowl, whatever it is, and they just completely wet the bed.
Yeah.
And that's very disappointing for all the Notre Dame alums out there. And that's why a lot of people think for as good a job as Kelly's done, he might be on the hot seat there as well, simply because of the fact that Notre Dame alums and fans expect more.
And they should. I mean, that's supposed to be one of those big-time programs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to have letdowns as a program occasionally, but when you look at teams like Bama, those losses usually don't come until the playoffs or the national championship game. It's different to lose a championship game every year. Or every couple of years, but it's a lot different to lose down the stretch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes a difference. But I tell you what, there was a lot of upsets yesterday. I mean, you had Miami beating Notre Dame. You had Washington falling on Friday. They were ranked number 9 in the country. You had Georgia falling. They were the number 1 team in the country. Notre Dame at number 3 lost. TCU number 6 lost. I mean, they lost to OU at number 5, but still, that's a big loss for them.
Late in the year.
Michigan State number 12 lost. Virginia Tech at 17. Iowa at 20 and Iowa State at 21. All lost. So I expect today's or tomorrow night's updated rankings to be all topsy-turvy. I mean, who do you think, and I mean, we can get right to it, who would you have as your top four, but who do you think the committee will have? Because I think it's two different things sometimes people look at it.
I'll say this.
All right.
I still don't have the Wisconsin Badgers in the top four.
Okay, I don't either.
I'm telling you guys right now that regardless of schedule or not, they're going to fall either this week or in the Big Ten championship game, which I've been saying all along.
You're just doing the reverse jinx, but okay.
No, I'm being directly honest. I watch them every week. My final four right now as of today, Alabama, Miami, Oklahoma, Clemson.
Okay.
All right? And I will say this for the caveat. It's crazy that a two-loss team is in the discussion. But if Auburn can bounce back, keep bouncing and staying positive from what they did this last week and play Georgia, if they can beat Alabama and then come back and get Georgia again in the SEC championship game and win 3 straight big games like that, they deserve to be in.
Oh, and there's no doubt. I mean, if you beat Bama, then you beat, you know, Georgia and the SEC. If they win the SEC championship game, yeah, there's no doubt. And I think that also would exclude Bama. I mean, if Bama loses, they would lose the tiebreaker. If Bama loses
right.
that last
and then
game
they have a chance
to Auburn,
play in the SEC
they're
championship
out. Yeah, because yep. they lose the tiebreaker to Auburn, so Auburn would end up playing Georgia for the SEC championship game, and Bama's out.
And keep in mind, in our final four, that can't be the final four because I think Clemson's going to play Miami in the ACC championship game. Clemson's going to send
right.
Miami home.
So this is what I had. I had for my top
for this
four
week.
This week. Yep. I had Miami at number 1.
Okay.
Alabama at number 2. Because they just got by Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm. Great
I mean,
game.
That was a close, fun, good game.
Yep.
But Miami rolled Notre Dame.
Yep.
I mean, rolled them. And that was the number 3 team in the country. So they rolled Notre Dame. So I have Miami 1, Alabama 2, OU 3, Clemson 4. I have your Wisconsin Badgers at 5.
I do too.
And Auburn at 6. I think the committee will come back and say Alabama 1, OU 2, Miami 3, Clemson 4. And I think it'll be Wisconsin and Auburn flip-flop somewhere in there. I think at the end of the year, yeah, it's either going to be Miami or Clemson
right.
1, OU 2, Auburn 3, Wisconsin 4 if Bama loses. If Bama wins, it's completely different.
Well, and I think if Wisconsin loses, which is coming, I'm telling you, I don't think I just don't see Wisconsin. I'm the first to admit their schedule wasn't strong. And yes, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're winning the games that are on the schedule. That's fine and dandy. But, you know, yeah, Iowa was ranked. That helps them. Northwestern's ranked. They beat them earlier. That helps them. They still really haven't played anybody of real substance. And I think they get slaughtered by any of those teams that we just mentioned.
But if Bama wins, they're obviously number one at the end of the year. But if they lose that game against Auburn, which I think they could, but if they lose that game, then I think they're out. Auburn would be three. So, yeah, if Bama wins the Iron Bowl, they're one. Miami-Clemson winner is two. OU three. And Wisconsin four.
Give Mississippi State a lot of credit now.
Man.
Boy, they. You know what? And Ryan Clark was on First Take this morning, and he flat out said it. He was at the game. He said, for all intents and purposes, Mississippi State was in control. They were the dominant team in that game for three and a half quarters of that game. It was amazing.
It wasn't even, yeah, it really was. I mean, that the stadium was hyped. Those cowbells were pissing me off, but they were loud. I mean, it was, I thought for sure that Bama was going to fall. I thought, my goodness, if Bama falls and Georgia and Notre Dame, how crazy is that?
Yeah, when you already talk about, yeah, how many of the top 10 could fall in 1 week? It was, yeah. It's just absolutely nuts. And it just makes things more interesting. It's fun. But I'm telling you, that Mississippi State game, to me, that roster is full of talent. And look, is it Dan Mullen that's there?
Yeah.
The head football coach. There's a reason why he's on the top of everybody's list of who needs a new head coach.
Oh, he can coach.
He certainly can.
Yeah, he can coach his ass off. That quarterback, though, that they have, Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald, yep.
I really like him. Some he's of the tough. Throws that he made Ooh. Were, I mean, you're like, man, that kid could play on Sunday.
I was going to say, nice combination of not only great athleticism and being able to run the football, and he wasn't afraid to put his head down.
Yeah.
But he threaded the needle on a couple of passes, and I thought, you know what? Yeah. This guy can play.
He can sling it, yeah.
All right, so we didn't get to the Rockets today. We'll get to them tomorrow. They got a big game at home. Now they've played five of their next seven at home after being on the road for quite a bit. They won two games in a little less than 24 hours yesterday. So they've won six in a row. They play the Raptors tomorrow night. Should be another good test for them. We'll talk about Rockets tomorrow. But for today, a good-spirited show as we put this one to rest. We thank you guys for listening and being a part of it. As you know, we do this Monday through Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5. So join us again tomorrow. Won't you? As right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. CEO Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job of making sure they tailor-make an energy program for you, whether it be for your business or your family. They take care of you, and they're 100% honest. They always give you a human being, not an automated system. And their sole focus is to make sure they build a long-term relationship with you by making sure you're satisfied and you love the fact that you have a great deal and a great plan that is exactly the way you want it and takes care of your energy needs. They build their relationships on high value, high quality, and communication. They're affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, and it's 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan, it offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that helps decrease your carbon footprint. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, and right off the top, you get a $25 bill credit, and the gifts just keep on giving. Check them out, give them a call, 1-844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732, or go to InfuseEnergy.com, Infuse Energy into your life.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.